98.5 of Sports Hub. It is Toucher and Rich, and what a coincidence. I got to read this, Chris. Let me just get it out here because it's so much information. It says the Gronkowski brothers have partnered with GetMoreSports.com this football season to provide NFL analysis, insight, and predictions. The Gronkowski brothers are also producing a podcast called The Gronkcast, where they'll be dishing about the NFL and Gronk family on a weekly basis. In the most recent podcast, Chris suggests the Cowboys coach Jason Garrett will be the first head man fired this year. The Gronkcast, I'm sure, is phenomenal. We need a reality show, Chris Gronkowski. When is that happening?
I don't know. I keep hearing about it myself, but I don't think it will happen until Rob's career is over. I mean, he's just 100% focused on that, so anytime it's brought up, he just shuts it down immediately.
Didn't you guys like have a, what is it called? Like, I think the term in the industry is a sizzle reel that was going around that was, I guess, selling a Gronkowski's TV show a couple years ago?
Yeah, it was more based around really my dad's fitness business, really more about like Gronk up gym, stuff like that, behind the scenes. And then, you know, they throw in Rob in there as well. It's kind of something kind of like Wahlburgers. It's kind of what they were trying to go for.
Okay. Except with more smashing each other in the head.
Absolutely. Just forgot more action.
What if you guys just did, like, remade American Gladiators, but you guys were the gladiators?
Man, I was just talking about that the other day. They have to bring that back.
Dude, that was one of the best shows on TV. If there's any show that's ripe for a reboot, it's American Gladiators. And I think, you know what? I mean, listen, you're talking about, you know, life after football for, like, Rob and you guys. I mean, wouldn't that be something that you could see Rob and your family being involved in?
Absolutely. I want to be on it myself. I was just thinking about it the other day, and I'm surprised that they haven't brought it back. It's got to come back.
Were you guys like me when I was a kid? Like, me and my brothers would recreate some of the different challenges you had to get through and just beat the snot out of each other?
Absolutely. We had the Nerf gun. We had it all. We set them all up, and we had it in our basement, and we'd run actually through the stations and then just blast each other. I mean, it was, we had the American Gladiators in our basement.
Okay. So what was the most injured somebody got while trying to do some of those? I mean, because you guys obviously were all very physical. Well, what was the worst injury that was sustained while you guys were doing that stuff at home?
Man, it was more of the sports that we got hurt in. We played penny sticks in the basement. So we had like the little, I guess, memorabilia sticks, and we set up boards and everything, and that's where all the biggest injuries would come from, because we check each other through the boards and split some chins open. That was mayhem. That was all out. And we had a cement wall, so we had nothing to protect ourselves. So we're just hitting each other through a cement wall, and then all the insulation was ripped off, and you get all itchy from it, and it was all out.
So this is one of those situations where, like, how often are you guys rolling up to the hospital?
Oh, not that many times, actually. Usually it was more around like holidays. We were always there. It seemed to be like Christmas Eve was one of the big times we'd end up there. But other than that, it was just tough it out and just take it. I mean, really not that many broken bones, but a couple split chins, stuff like that. But
hang on, what happened on Christmas Eve?
Oh, just a big tab. Remember, I think it was Rob and I, and I think he hit me. I fell over Glenn and fell on Glenn, and he split his chin open. He was like 1 year old at the time, so we were there. My mom's filming and everything, trying to capture the moment, and we ended up in the hospital. So
I love, instead of trying to stop it, she was trying to film it.
Yeah, so she still has it. She has it somewhere, but you just see the camera drop, and everyone starts screaming, and that was it. That was the last time she filmed us on Christmas Eve. Yeah, we had the camera out, so we were all going for big hits. I mean, you had to get it. Once the camera's out, it just went up to a whole nother level.
All right. So we, Chris Gronkowski, we had Rob on as a weekly guest for a while, and he was telling us about this game that you guys used to play in the front yard called Zoom. Can you kind of expand on what Zoom was?
Yeah, it was, we actually take pillows, and it was just, it was full speed. You put a pillow like on your chest, and kind of like sumo wrestling, but you'd run full speed at each other, and you just kind of blast the guy as hard as you could. And it was just a good way, really, if two of us were fighting all day long, my dad would be like, all right, you versus you. And it was kind of just a way to get it over with and see who the champ was.
But the game was, Rob was telling us, the winner was who wasn't knocked out.
No, we wouldn't get, I mean, we did have a pillow, so it wasn't like we were knocking each other out. But
don't forget about that pillow, Rich.
You jump on them, you mush them to the ground, and then you stand up, and you're the champ.
Yeah, but it's just like 5'5", 110-pound guys running into each other.
But your head didn't have a pillow.
Jesus.
It got crazy, and obviously the pillow only would protect so much, and then it usually be turned into a brawl as well.
Okay.
I mean, it started... Yeah, that's usually how it ended.
Yeah, when you're that physical, and I got to think the tempers run hot. And I know brothers are, you know, in the end, you're best friends and all that stuff. But there's got to be times where you thought somebody took a cheap shot, so you said, all right, well, this turns into a real fist fight. Do you remember a time where there was actual anger and this was real fighting, not the play kind?
Yeah, I mean, that was pretty much every day. It really was, and the only rules were, you know, no hitting the nuts and no face shots. That was it. So that was... Besides that, I mean, they were all out brawls every single day. I mean, the day didn't end without a fight. It was pretty much impossible.
Okay, and I got to think that no hitting the nuts and no face shots, that's got to be a rule that your dad came up with, right? Because if you're the dad, you're probably sick of seeing this, and you're like, you deal with it. I just don't want to have to go to the hospital, right?
Exactly, and that's how he was. It was, you know, if you guys want to fight, then go fight. But, you know, get your anger out, get it, you know. Settle it yourselves, but yeah, no nut shots, no face shots, and you're good.
Okay.
And at the end of the day, I mean, you just tire each other out, and it would be over with. That was pretty much the only way to deal with it when you have, there's really five boys, but then it was also pretty much every one of us would have a friend over at the house. So we're just that house that everyone was at. And a couple friends over, a couple older friends, I mean, we go after them. It was just all out. Everyone was brawling by the end of the day.
It was like just like a Donnybrook, like one of those movies where the piano player's playing and like beer cans are flying everywhere and they're smashing each other over the head, like an old Western.
Yeah, yeah, it really was. And I mean, I would go after, you know, my older brother's friends all the time just because, you know, my brother was big, but they'd be smaller guys. So that was kind of, if you went after them, you took out an older, you know, older friend, you were a beast. So it was just nonstop. It was, I don't know how my parents handled it. I have two kids now, and I'm like, how'd you guys handle five? Because that's insanity. I mean, we had no couch. We had no furniture. We had nothing in our house because everything would just get ruined.
You just walked in. It was a big open spot. Like, right, there's no, like, nice flower vases or anything like that.
Nothing. We didn't even have a coffee table. I mean, it was a couch. And they had to buy the couches where the pillows didn't attach to the back because we jump on them and they rip off the first week. And they always get the warranties on them. And they're, you know, we bring it back, like, four or five times because... Break the furniture every time.
Did your parents ever dare take you all out to dinner anywhere?
No, we had our special treat was we go to Denny's and we get the $1.99 Are You Out of Your Mind special back in the day.
Nice,
and that was like the greatest thing ever for us as kids. We thought it was awesome, and it was like we, out of all, you know, 12 months a year, if we all had a good month or whatever, should take us. It ended up being like once or twice a year because we're just so crazy that it never worked. I mean, we finally get a chance to go and we go in the car and we fight each other. And by the time we actually got in the car to leave, she canceled it. And it was insane. And just to do anything as all five of us for a whole family, and it was just too much.
Did you guys ever, did you ever see how much your family paid for the grocery bill per week? Like, I'm talking, like, in the age when you guys were of high school. Like when you guys were around high school and middle school, did you ever see how much your parents were spending on groceries?
Yeah, my mom, she totaled it up at one point, but she would go to, we had BJ's Wholesale in Buffalo, so she'd go there. And she'd get, I think it was about $500 worth of food. And then on the way home, she'd stop at the actual grocery store, and then she'd load up on that as well. So we had the refrigerator inside. We had a second refrigerator outside. And then we had, you know, the entire big freezer as well. So I think it was, she was buying 6 to 8 gallons of milk every time we went shopping. And it was just, she made every meal for us as well. So we didn't eat out. We weren't, I mean, it wasn't even possible to eat out in the first place. But she cooked every single meal and every lunch for us as well. So we had bag lunches. We didn't buy food at school. So everything we ate was from her. So it was a lot of food.
Now, when you guys used to go out, like, I mean, as brothers, you know, away from your family, and you would go out, and would you ever, like, crush a place like Taco Bell and just destroy the place?
We had Money Taco. I guess it's a Buffalo thing only, but that. And then we'd have, like, football dinners at Olive Garden, but it was the same way. They had like all you can eat, and it was always just mayhem. Like they were miserable when we walked in, and you know, just were not happy to see us. We crush a bunch of food and just get out of there. But yeah, there was no. We didn't have really one set spot. I mean, we were usually eating at home.
Oh, sure, sure. And I just imagine it being just your mother throwing meat into a pile and then the dogs attacking it, correct?
Yeah, we never actually sat down as a family because it wasn't possible. By the time the dinner was actually finished, one or two of us already ate half of it.
there was no table, too.
Yeah, and then the rest of it, I mean, we were always, there's so many sports involved with it that someone was always doing something. Someone was always out of practice or a game. So it was pretty much impossible to sit down all at the same time and eat. So it was just pretty much grab food whenever you can, and half the time you eat the meal before it was even cooked all the way.
That's awesome. Well, Chris Gronkowski, once again from GetMoreSports.com, we love having him on. This offseason, you know, there was all this stuff that people came out about Rob saying that he might potentially want to retire, and then there was the report that came out the other day that he only wanted Tom Brady throwing to him. What was this offseason like? Because I know you guys are all really close. And was this a strange offseason to you as far as being kind of uncertain what you guys were all going to be doing together?
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't 100% after last year. You know, really didn't know where it was going to end up, but I knew he was on the new, you know, doing these new workouts, you know, band workouts, and he's feeling the best he's ever felt. So I knew that he wasn't going to walk away because, you know, his main concern was his health, and he was feeling so good, and he really was. He's bragging to me how great he felt. So I knew he's going to come out and have, I'm expected to have the best year he's had. So excited for that. But yeah, we weren't 100% sure what was going to happen. And he sat down with Belichick and they figured things out and think he's going to be a Patriot for life.
Is it the Alex Guerrero thing that's making him feel so good and so much better this year?
He's doing a couple of different things, but more about just pliability, you know, athletic movements instead of just throwing weight around. So really just focus on taking care of himself, kind of, you know, the TB12 way, how Tom's doing it, and instead of just, you know, getting stuck up on how much you can lift, how about actual movements that are going to make me a better athlete and better player.
And this is all because Tom approached him, correct? And said, you know, you got to give this a try. You know, it's helped out for me. And is that kind of how the two were introduced and everything took off from there?
I'm not really sure what his relationship is with that. I know he does it. He does some workouts with my brother as well, with Croc Fitness and all their products. And it's something that I know he knows what Tom's doing. And I think some of that's rubbed off on him, but I don't really know the relationship with TB12 and all that.
There's no way he's eating all that weird food that they recommend on the TB12 diet.
Not even, no way. he's a lot better. He came here and was pulling out stuff out of my cabinet saying, why are you eating this, this, and this? And I'm like, come on, man, I gotta get, you know, some calories in. But he's actually super into his health now and taking care of himself and really trying to make his career last as long as possible.
Excellent. Well, Chris Gronkowski, it's always good having you on. You can go to the Gronkcast at GetMoreSports.com. And I'm telling you, you don't even need to give me a producer's credit for giving you the idea. A brand new American Gladiator starring the Gronkowskis, it would be a hit, man, an absolute hit. Roll with it. Make some money off this.
I love it. I'm all in, man. I'm feeling the best. I felt too. I'm ready. They want me to go out there, I'm ready.
All right, man. We appreciate it. Hey, thanks so much, Chris. We'll talk to you soon, okay?
Thank you. Have a good one. Right, thanks, Red.
I just imagine like one of those old Western movies where everyone's fighting and smashing through walls, yeah. And then bottles are being thrown around. Meanwhile, mom's like still cooking, like, you know, just like just throwing meat into the pile. And
the best was they had no furniture in the house. Oh, that
great.
Was the best
it's
part
great.
Of the whole thing.
And you know what?
Yeah.
How perfect is that? If you're a father of boys or you grew up, like I grew up with two brothers, I mean, no hits to the head, no nut shots. You work it out.
Mm-hmm.
Work it out like men. You do your thing and you live with the consequences of what it means to actually punch somebody, you know, in the face and what injuries really, you guys work it out. I had a friend of mine who grew up in a family of nine, and the mother said that as long as nobody was bleeding and the laundry was done, she was fine. That's all she would just do is just do laundry all day and feed them. And as long as there was no blood, then she was A-okay with how everything worked out.
There was blood on the laundry, so help her God.
Center single back is Amir. Matthews got it, fakes to give to Amir, sets deep in the pocket, wants to throw, does deep downfield, wants Gallaudet inside the 10, dive, did he make the catch? Oh, he did! Oh, rookie, you are something special! Touchdown, Detroit Lions! Hey, 45 yards on the connection!
Oh, that's what they wanted to hear yesterday, but they didn't. Or on Monday, rather. It was a massive backfire. It was a embarrassment. And if you're Matt Patricia, this morning, the wolves are coming out. Because this is, from what we are now hearing from behind the scenes, this was a long time coming. Ever since the beginning of training camp, many people who covered the team said Matt Patricia was setting himself up for a massive failure. The way he came and tried to use his techniques and change the culture there, it apparently backfired amongst all of the players. And I remember, John, it was kind of funny because at the very beginning of training camp, it might have been like 3 days into it, I mocked a couple of reporters that came on and were talking about how Matt Patricia was in danger of losing the team. And I was like, are you kidding me? Like, it was like 3 or 4 days into it. Do you remember that? It was like very early.
Yes.
Into the process.
These are guys that watched training camp practice and were marveled at how Patricia was pushing his players so early in camp. And my point at the time was, well, how long has it been since Detroit was good?
Well,
how long has it been since they won a playoff game? Maybe they need something different. You know, you could say what you want about Patricia's coaching ability, but, you know, nothing else has worked. Jim Caldwell didn't work. I mean, they won 9 games last year, but still. I mean, if you want to push, and at least Patricia comes from an organization that's had a lot of success.
Well, let me correct myself. This is even worse. I forgot. This was at OTAs. This wasn't at the beginning of training camp. This was at OTAs back in June that these reporters were saying this about Matt Patricia. If you don't remember, here was some of the reports out of the Lions locker room once Matt Patricia showed up.
I know it struck you. I know it struck you a little bit, and I, certainly something that caught my eye as well is just the, to use your word, authoritarian ways, I guess, of Matt Patricia's head coach. All 3 days out here, there's something that's gone on in practice, and Matt stopped. And now, again, I wrote this, we're not allowed to, you know, quote coaches during practice, but he uses some colorful language. He gets a little animated. He makes guys run. It's just not something that you see in the NFL. And as we were talking a little bit off camera, I don't know how it's going to play. I mean, you know, I think I understand it right now a little bit. You're getting guys to buy in. You want to make sure things are exact. But, you know, if you're 8-8 this year, are players going to respond to that?
To me, it's the running. I mean, to me, like, even Schwartz was as hot-headed as you could get. He canceled, you know, periods. He got mad. He got frustrated. He didn't make them run that much. They've been running a lot. And that's like what you do to high school players. You're not paying, you know, veteran, multimillionaire guys out here to be running around like little kids getting scolded.
Okay, listening back to that, now I know why I mocked it so much. Number one, they were ripping on him, first of all, for swearing so much. How dare you have that potty mouth and be a football coach? Second of all, they held up Jim Schwartz as the bastion of coaching. So, I mean, now I know why I mocked it. However, you are starting to see a little bit of a grain of truth in what's happening there. First of all, Mike Garofalo, who is from the NFL Network, talked to several of the players and some of the people behind the scenes about how the hell did we get to Monday night where you let a rookie quarterback come in and absolutely dismantle your team. Here is Mike Garofalo.
And I had mentioned I had been hearing some griping from veterans in the Detroit Lions locker room about the number of rules that Matt Patricia has put in place, about how hard he worked these guys in training camp. Now, I cautioned people. I said, look, I'm not going to jump to a conclusion, and I'm still not going to jump to a conclusion and say this is going to be an utter disaster and Josh McDaniels part two and another branch on the Belichick tree that's going to wither and die. I'm not going there. But what I'm saying is, when you don't have the results, and when they're as bad as they were last night, you leave yourself very little leeway as a head coach, because your guys are going to say, well, wait a minute, we're being run harder than other teams, we've got more rules than other teams, and we're not getting the results. At least in New England, they get the results. So Matt Patricia, to be fair now, on his end, he's going to look at it and say, okay, well, who am I going to get that's going to buy in here, and do I have to jettison the guys who aren't? So just keep an eye on this situation here as it gets deeper into the season. If the things don't turn around on the field, just what you might be hearing from some of these veterans.
Okay. As a matter of fact, he added later on saying that a lot of the agents for players in the team were saying that he believed the team would be out of gas in week one because of the grueling training camp. And, you know, obviously making them run sprints and stuff like that. And once again, it is kind of funny. I mean, they brought in someone to change the culture there. Obviously, it was a losing organization. Now, there is a... I'm sure there is a player-friendly way to do that and not completely lose the guys. That is, once again, why head coaches get paid a ton of money. However, one thing that is inexcusable is not being prepared. And it looked like this team was horribly unprepared. As a matter of fact, you had Darren Lee, linebacker from the Jets, come out. Now, I don't know if he's just saying this because sometimes you have players on the opposite team say stuff like this, but it sure looked like it was true. He said that they knew every play the Lions were going to run before they even snapped the ball. Quote, we were calling out their plays as Stafford was getting up to the line. He said, film study. The offense paints a picture. They gave us little tips. And as a matter of fact...
And this is week one.
This is week
where you
one.
Have a bunch of... You're really not sure what's going on. Bill Belichick said multiple times during the week leading up to the game against Houston, week one is always a challenge because you haven't seen any tape with the personnel they have out there this year. Brand new personnel. Some of the players are the same, but you have different personnel able to do different things than last season. So you have to prepare for a lot of different things, and yet the Jets are still able to nail plays as Stafford walked up to the line. That shouldn't happen.
I saw some reports yesterday, too, that apparently, you know, Jim Bob Cooter, the offensive coordinator for the Detroit Lions, apparently he had not changed any of the signals or play callings from last year's plays to game one.
Yeah.
And that's why the Jets, all you had to do was study some film from last year, and boom, you already knew what was going to happen.
And you add to all of this, and if you've read the Detroit Free Press over the last couple of days, it is very interesting. They are now hinting at, well, even more than hinting at it, they think a significant portion of the Lions players quit after halftime in that game last night, two nights ago. And that's dangerous. First week of the season, you have players quitting on you. Big headline in the sports section of the Detroit Free Press today. Detroit Lions coach Matt Patricia is in over his head. This is week one now. This is ugly, ugly stuff.
Well, you say, okay, so a lot of people are saying, like, I heard Garofalo go, oh, yeah, I know it's only week one, we're not going to jump to conclusions. Have you seen their schedule coming up? It's not getting any easier.
Right.
You got the Patriots. I know that they play the Packers twice. This weekend, they go out to
San Francisco
to play the 49ers,
yep,
which isn't exactly a win, but I mean, that's probably as easy as it's going to get,
yep,
for a nice little stretch they're about to go on. They're definitely the worst team in their division.
Easily.
Easily.
Yeah. Chicago's much improved now with Mac.
Yeah, Trubisky looked pretty good in the first
easily
half, and Max, boy, the Raiders could have used Mac the other night.
that's a different story.
Really,
that's a different story altogether, and how idiotic that was. But yes, Detroit right now is looking up at everybody else.
I mean, the Browns look like a more competent organization right now.
Whoa.
Listen, they tied the Steelers.
Whoa.
The bankroll boys are right.
I'm not going there. No.
So it's going to be something to keep an eye on. And the Belichick family tree could be taking another massive hit. It could be taking a big hit. And
take a look at any of the five assistants that have gone on and tried to coach. It's been ugly.
Bill O'Brien, the question mark is still out there, but I also...
Yeah, but he's 31-34 after the loss to the Patriots.
But after this weekend, you know, you start to wonder, as much as I love Bill O'Brien, and I thought that he should have been the guy that would replace Bill Belichick, is that, and I believe there's people in the organization who wanted that to happen as well, I'm starting to wonder just how much we've overrated him. And really, how much you've overrated everyone that's worked underneath Bill Belichick who's not Bill Belichick.
It's funny. You know, McDaniels goes somewhere, tries to act like Belichick and loses. Mangini, you know, goes somewhere else in two different organizations, tries to act like Belichick and loses. You know, Matt Patricia, apparently, you know, trying to be a taskmaster like Belichick. He goes somewhere and loses. And you remember we were discussing this. Bill Belichick's style doesn't work for a new head coach in today's NFL. The athletes are different. The reason Belichick's style works now is that he's implemented a program over the last 20 years that wins every year. And if he tried to step in now and coach the way he coaches now as a new head coach, we've discussed this. It doesn't work.
You know what?
And you still have these assistants, their first time out, making these mistakes.
I'll say one thing in defense of Matt Patricia. Those Lions players sound like babies.
Maybe they do, but Rich, it doesn't matter.
You know what? You can complain when you win. When you have a when you're a winning team, you can complain about the new guy coming
but
in.
But the
and try
bottom
to chase
line is,
up.
Rich,
and until that case, shut up and do what the coach tells you.
I understand
you.
That, but ultimately, the coach has not connected with his players and made them want to follow him. That's the bottom line. Regardless of whether they're crying or not, the fact that there are hints that the team quit at halftime of week one against a rookie quarterback in their own building is a damning thing to say about any franchise. And if, so what? If they're crying, that's fine. But it's the head coach's job to connect with them and pull them back the other way.
Real quick, somebody just sent me a picture of Bill Belichick, and it said, Solder got embarrassed by Jacksonville. Butler gets burned for a long TD. Jimmy G throws three picks and takes an L, and Matt Patricia gets his ass kicked at home by the freaking Jets. Anyone else want to keep doubting me? So there you go. in a nutshell, that's essentially how it all went this weekend for that coaching tree and ex-players underneath Bill Belichick. All right, 617-779-0985. Right after John Wilkes' headline. We'll be back.
Toucher and Rich. And the 1-2 to Gritchick. And popped him up. Kinsler with a play to shallow right. And Sale gets through the first inning. Two Ks, he strands a pair.
98.5 of Sports Hub. It's Toucher and Rich. Listen on the 98.5 of Sports Hub app and take us everywhere you go. Also, listen at home or in your office on your smart speaker and just say, play 98.5 of Sports Hub. I'm sorry. I was about to talk about the Red Sox for a second, but something just like I was reminded of something that really kind of pissed me off. Okay. I hate drones.
Okay.
For some reason, every time I'm around someone with a drone, it's like that scene in Step Brothers. It's just, you know, it's something about your face. It's a visceral reaction because drones are usually used by people in places where it's naturally beautiful because you're outside and like there's the fresh air.
Sure.
I was at the beach this summer and, you know, I'm just hanging out with my family and we're sitting on the beach and we're kind of having just one of those moments where you're sitting there and like, all right, this is, the weather's fantastic. I'm really enjoying myself. And
right.
I start to hear this. This thing flying over my head. And yeah. I look up, and these drones all have cameras, too. So not only is this sound of a drone completely ruining this whatever moment that you might be having of, you know, peace and tranquility or whatever, but also you could be on film. And you could be being videotaped the entire time.
So you can't act like a maniac and get pissed, or you can't throw things at the drone.
No, it's just...
Because then, Lord knows what social media account it winds up on, and you look like an ass.
I don't even care about that. How would you feel if you were lying on the beach, and someone walked up with you with their cell phone and just stood over you and started filming for, like, 2 straight minutes?
Yeah, it sucks.
Yeah, you'd
but there's
like,
nothing you can do about
it. You know what you would say? You would say, what the hell are you doing? Get out of my face.
Exactly.
Okay, but when it's a drone...
That's hovering, what, 50 feet over your head?
Yeah. And making that
I can't believe
noise.
They allow those kinds of things on Nantucket. It's amazing to me.
As a matter of fact, this wasn't even
I thought
Nantucket.
That was outlawed.
It wasn't even Nantucket where they did that.
Oh, it wasn't even your happy place. Where was this?
You smartass. You know what happens? They end up getting the
some guy with a rifle comes out and shoots that sumbitch down.
No, in Nantucket, the dudes just take their croquis, the bro guys, and use them as slingshots.
I see. And knock them out of the air that way.
They throw Crocs at them.
They roll up their Nantucket Reds and put them in a big ball and shoot them with their croquis.
No, you don't waste a Nantucket Red on that. Come on.
So, no, this wasn't even there. And so, okay. So that's one thing. And then last night, so I live in like a condo building, okay?
Yep.
And I'm not on the ground floor. I'm several floors up.
Of course you are.
So at one point, well, of course I am.
Of course you are.
You know, you can't be the ground floor. You can't be with a commoner.
I understand. I get it. Go ahead. Keep going.
You got to be at least the second or third floor
sure,
up.
Sure, right. Yes.
So I live in an apartment building. And last night, while I'm getting dinner ready, I noticed there's this weird thing like in the corner. I thought it was just some weird ass bird that was flying by. There aren't like a ton of birds around because I'm like in the middle of like downtown. And I look out, and there is a drone flying by my window. Like somebody has a drone, and is having it go up and down the windows of our building. Once again, all of these things have like cameras. And I'm like, how is this like legal? Where you can just like have a video camera and film it?
Did you see the guy down?
No.
Can you look down and see if there's a guy down there?
I looked down in the street. I didn't see anybody with like a drone thing. And I'm like, almost an invasion of privacy, wouldn't it be?
No, it's not almost. It is.
Sure. If somebody's got a drone and is using it to go up and look in somebody's window.
Can you close your, I mean, just close your blinds, obviously.
Sure.
But
sure,
ultimately,
you could do that. That's why I
would
think that,
freak me out, too, if I opened up my window. I looked out my window and I saw a drone, like, hovering next to me.
Anybody had a jackass with a drone problem? I just, for some reason, I can't be the only person who's absolutely, I think that if there is a drone that is in your face filming you, you should have every right to be able to destroy said drone with whatever you have with you. Like, I mean, it seems like such a jackass move. And by the way, who has a drone other than stupid pitchers who end up screwing up their hands?
Trevor Bauer. Yep.
That's right. Trevor Bauer. He was obsessed with drones.
Yeah.
Like, honestly, and it's always like some, like, there's never anybody, they're always like, they look like they're part of the D&D club. All right, let's go Howard.
Don't say stuff like that. Listen, people are going to give us a bad name.
You're
right.
The Fonzie of the D&D
club.
Come on. Let's go to Howard. Howard, what's up, man? You're on Toucher and Rich.
Good morning, guys. Well, it's funny that you bring this up because I know a guy who owns a drone service company, and there's a lot of good uses. You know, they use them for agriculture. They can, you know, inspect power lines. They can do a lot of things with drones that are good. But the FAA has a Part 107 course that you have to take and have a license to fly a drone. You're not allowed. I don't care if it's just a kid on the beach or, you know, you're doing, you know, stuff for farming or whatever. You can't fly one unless you have this license. And the FAA is going to come down really, really hard on people, not just a slap on the wrist if they catch people using a drone, because people are trying to make money to use the drones, and it's going to be a real serious thing when they catch people using it.
Howard, there was a story. Thanks for calling. There was a story out of, I think it was California, where two neighbors actually got in a fight because this guy and was laying out by his pool, and there was like an outdoor changing, like one of those outdoor shower things, and his neighbor was flying the drone over their outdoor shower, and it happened to be while the guy was in there, he saw this thing flying over, which once again has a camera on it and could film you at any given time. There's got to be some sort of rule for that.
He mentioned the FAA is going to crack down. I think the FAA is a little busy. I don't think they have enough staff to handle all the drone usage across this great nation of ours. It's a nice idea,
yeah,
but in the end, I really don't think the FAA can mandate who can and who can't fly a drone. All right, you institute licenses for people to be able to. I'm thinking that's not going to stop a lot of people from purchasing these things.
If you own a drone, you're a jackass. You're a jackass. Like, unless you use it for, like, you know, you have to use it for your business.
Amazon going to use drones to deliver packages on your front door at one point?
And you know why they didn't? Because drones suck. And drones are annoying, and it's bad for your business. And also, I also believe it's
scare the crap out of people who are open up the door and see this thing hovering in front of them.
Yeah.
I would agree.
Right. If you own a drone just to go, and videotape.
Look at it. It's flying. It's not a plane.
Then you're a jackass. I got
full phone lines.
Mike on line two. You fly a drone for a living.
Yeah. So I was going to answer your question about probably what happened with the drone you saw outside your window. Do you live in a condo building or an apartment building?
Yes, I do.
So what in all likelihood was happening is there are folks that will fly drones to do inspections of the outside of the building for insurance purposes. So your association or building management organization would have known it was going on and should have told you guys.
Yeah.
But looking for things like divots or cracks, things that would create insurance liabilities for insurance companies.
Yeah, yeah.
All right,
that we need to be told. Listen.
All right, that's on the building. That's not on the guy who flew the drone. That's actually a good point.
With every apartment building I've ever had, if they are going to wash the windows, which happens like once a year, you know, you get the guys come down there.
Right.
Like, if that happens,
right,
we're informed of it so people don't like flip out, testing the firearms, things like that. If you're going to fly a drone past my building and film what's going on the inside, once again, you got to let people know. I just don't understand how people get away. All right. Have you ever almost gotten a fight over a jackass with a drone? 617-779-0985. I need to talk to my people. We'll take your calls right after this.
You're listening to Toucher and Rich, 985 Sports Hub.
985 Sports Hub. It's Toucher and Rich. Okay, so I was making dinner last night in my apartment, which is, it's an apartment building, and as I look out my window, I see a drone flying by, and what looks like he's filming. It has a camera on it. It looks like it's filming inside of the buildings. If you own a drone, you're a jackass. I've thought that forever, before even yesterday. I hate being at the beach and people having drones all over the place. It ruins it. Somebody just sent me this thing. Said, I run the Feaster 5 in Andover every year at Thanksgiving. And a few years ago, a drone fell on a couple of runners. So it fell on this guy and just knocked him in the head. I can't stand these things. I have a visceral reaction, and I can't be the only one. Let's go to Kevin on line one. Kevin, you are on Toucher and Rich.
Steak and eggs, boys.
Steak and eggs, hey. Kevin.
So drones are the most ridiculous things, and here's why. So I'm an avid hunter, and, you know, it's hard enough finding a place to go where people are like, don't shoot poor Bambi, don't shoot the duck. And we're all hunting last year, and this jack wagon has a good idea. Let's fly my drone over our decoy spread and see what they're doing. So the first time we got up and we went over and asked the guy, listen, you know, if that thing's over there and birds come in, it's going to get hit. He does it the second time, so I just yelled at everyone to shoot it. He wasn't too happy. He comes over and he starts screaming, that's a $3,000 drone. Well, that was a $3 bullet.
Yeah. Did you nail it? Did you get it?
What's that?
Did you get it?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, see, you, my friend, did what I dream of doing whenever I see a drone.
Kevin is a hero of many people, I have a feeling, at the moment.
Was he trying to find where the deer were? You're scaring away the deer.
Yeah, so I was just going to say, the ducks aren't going to hang around with that.
And by the way, nice hunting technique. Let's go, just doing it just like in the old days. Let's go to Peter. Peter, what's up, man? You're on Toucher and Rich.
Hey, how's it going?
Hey.
I had a similar story to what you had. I was living in downtown Detroit and living in a high rise. And I'm getting ready for bed, and me and my girlfriend were you know, shutting off all the lights, and we see this light kind of go by the apartment window. Like, what the heck is that? And it goes far out, kind of comes back, and you can see it going all the way around to the different buildings, seeing if there's lights on and other people's windows and everything. I'm just like, this thing's a drone going around. Like, it's definitely taking pictures. Some guys looking in the windows, just taking pictures. It's the creepiest thing. It's such a not good feeling to be there, you know?
Yeah, I don't know how that can be legal. There's got to be an expectation of privacy that's violated if you're in a building that, you know, doesn't overlook anything.
Is there a law at this moment?
Probably not.
No.
I wouldn't think so.
I don't think so either.
I mean, this seems kind of, it's like a new technology they might not have been able to keep up with yet. Although there is this big lawsuit, I think, having to do with the fight where the guy flew the drone over the person's home where they had that outdoor shower.
And
which, you know, blocks in unless you're flying over it.
Yeah.
And I think there's actually something legal that might come out of that. All right, Vinny on line three. What's up, Vinny? You're on Toucher and Rich.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hey.
How you doing? Yeah, so I'm in the solar industry, and I usually work on rooftops and commercial buildings. And my company subs out a company that works, specializes in drones, and they fly over the solar panels, and they can check for hot spots to see if there's, broken panels or stress fractures, or if the cells in the panel are going bad. And one time I was out there, and my boss didn't decide to tell me that he hired a company that day. So I'm working, and I got a drone flying over me, and I'm freaking out that someone's spying on me. I'm totally against them myself with the privacy and all that. The cameras, it's ridiculous. You know what I mean?
Well, somebody said I was at a young kid's birthday party full of kids under three, and some D-bag brought out his drone. The whole time I was paranoid this thing was going to hit one of his kids, and it barely did. So that's phenomenal. And finally, let's go to Tom. Tom, what's up, man? You're on Toucher and Rich. Line one. What's up, Tom? Tom.
So, I've heard a lot of, good uses for drones and stuff like that, but I got to say, sometimes I'll go to the beach. I live right on the water in Plymouth, and one time there was this guy flying a drone around. I think it was a guy. It might have been a little kid, but I saw, two or three people just flip the thing off and start chucking rocks at it. I think those guys are a-holes.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think that's the thing. If there is a drone that is hovering within your personal space, you should have every right to be able to smash it. Because especially if it's filming you. If it's filming you, because you would do that to a person standing in front of you. If there is a human being holding a camera in front of you and not leaving, what do you do to the guy? You say, get the F out of my face.
Yeah, of course.
Right.
I'm just sitting here trying to think of the people that actually, get off on doing this kind of stuff. You know? Hey, let's spy on Fred over there in the corner. You know what? You have to be a jackass to physically say, I'm going to buy a drone and just annoy people with it. Because that's all you're doing. I would think the fun of a drone when it's in hover mode disappears after about 30 seconds. And then what happens? Oh, I flew it over here and I flew it over there. Other than actual use, and we've had three people call in and, you know, make good arguments. For example, the drone that flew by your apartment building window, you know, that makes sense. If it's for insurance purposes and you're checking for cracks in, you know, the windows and the sills next to it, that makes all the sense in the world.
Real quick, I'm sorry, Dan. Line two. We got to go to line two. Ben, what's up, man? You're on Touchard Rich.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey.
Hey, so I'm a rock climber. I go all over the world. I've been down to South America. But one time I was up in New Hampshire, you know where the Old Man in the Mountain is?
Yep.
Big, sheer, vertical cliff. And I was on basically place protection as you go, and I'm like 40 feet above my last piece of protection, which means like an 80-foot to 100-foot fall. And I hear a buzzing behind me, back and forth, buzz, buzz. And I look behind me, and there's a guy, without my consent, he's filming me, and he's dive-bombing me. You know, because what they do is they, like, gain a bunch of elevation, and then they just let it drop. And I'm talking about 5 to 10 feet behind me, buzzing behind me while I'm trying to climb.
Oh, that's
so
nice.
You got to imagine, he could get close enough where he could buzz me, and I could fall off. You fall 80 to 100 feet, and what's he going to do, just fly away?
Did you talk to the guy when you were done?
I could see him from, like, he's probably, like, 300 yards away down
that's
the road.
The thing.
I was trying to gesture at him. I think he thought I was waving at him. So the guy, he basically could do whatever he wanted. And
because that's what rock climbers do. They wave one of their arms.
To people in the distance. Hey, check me out.
Oh, unbelievable.
I'm just hanging here. No big deal. Yeah. Right. I'll take the footage.
Somebody said drone. Two words, paintball gun. Safe, legal, effective.
Oh, that makes sense, actually.
Not bad. All right. We will talk to you. Thanks. I appreciate it, man. All right. 617-779-0985. We have to get to this because we have been introducing you to people who have been going to City Hall. We found two gentlemen who have a fight worth